repeatable, repeatable. A doorstep and a frame. A welcome mat, a favorite hat that always stays the same. The story engine holds the tension, the familiar and the new.
The story
engine holds the tension, that's all it needs to do.
Do, 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 do.
In the process of making episode 13, The Story Engine.
Do, 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 do.
G'day, g'day, I'm Dave Brown, yes I am, and this is the 13th episode in this series, and I'm happy to tell you that we appear to have consolidated, for now at least, a podcast story engine. A what, you say? A podcast story engine. It's a repeating framework that becomes familiar and predictable for the listener whilst still providing scope for novelty and surprise. In The Simpsons, for example, the story engine is so robust that whether Homer gets a new job or Bart pulls a prank or Lisa champions a cause, the audience knows they'll get the familiar Springfield setting and character dynamics they love set in a consistent framework, whilst the specific plot can be wildly different each week, which is how the show has sustained over 750 episodes across 35 plus seasons. Look, this story engine idea can also relate to any kind of framework. Reality TV shows like The Voice and The Bachelor, or game shows like The Chaser, or even sports shows like The Front Bar. They all have their specific story engine, that familiar, repeatable framework that invites us in episode by episode.
Repeatable, repeatable, a doorstep and a frame. A welcome mat, a favorite hat, that always stays the same.
The story.
The engine that frames the story.
As you know, this whole thing started out as an audio documentary, and it slowly morphed into the story engine for our sevenwell.org podcast. With some consistency now, each episode starts in the real world we're in at the moment, where I'm talking directly with you about the process of making and the seven creative principles and creativity and whatever seems pertinent, really, interspersed with some song snippets and music segments. So let's call this part of the framework Dave's diatribe, for want of a better description. It's what we're doing now.
Dave's diatribe, I must confide, is something to delight in. To tinker and think is fun to do, and I land it all on you.
Ah, yes, you see, all sorts of things can happen in Dave's diatribe, from snatches of the Goon Show to chats with my AI friend Sam.
Ah, yes, well, thank you for thinking of me, Mr. Brown.
You're very welcome, Sam.
The Gossamer Story.
Okay, then from Dave's diatribe, at some point, we move into the Gossamer, this in-between imagining place where fictional, somewhat vaudevillian versions of John and I launch into dialogue as bumbling creators of the Sevenwell story world, where we tussle with each other about Weet-Bix sponsorship and McCartney heartbreak.
Press play. The sponsors are going to love it.
Oh.
What are you doing?
I'm taking a breath. Which then takes us into those Sevenwell stories featuring our cast of clowns, presented in all sorts of ways, from Antonio Goldini's Tinselman opera.
That the Tinselman becomes a reed.
Tinselman.
To Gordon Oliver's Tuna Mornays and all sorts of oddball oddities.
Everything's surprising here on Gossamer Street.
After the Gossamer and Sevenwell Story World foray into metafiction, our story engine takes us back to the real me as host, where I wind things up with some summarizing, some observations, a song maybe, a signing off, and then the podcast acknowledgements from Sam.
In the process of making is conceived by Dave Brown.
And right at the end,
and did you know?
A fun fact or whimsical story relating to the number 7. And that's the format. That's the story engine. And what happens inside that framework, the novelty, surprise, humour, insights, music, songs, this oddball odyssey of close encounters of the 7th kind, all of these things are hopefully what keeps you engaged inside the familiarity and consistency of the story engine framework.
7world.org, what will you find? An oddball odyssey of close encounters of the 7th kind. 7654321. Listen if you dare until the story's done.
Ah, yes, well, now that we've explained the nature of our story engine, we can identify that in this episode, we've arrived at the end of Dave's diatribe. And so our story engine would have us move into the Gossamer with the vaudevillian versions of fictional John and Dave and more of their crazy shenanigans.
What happens in the Gossamer stays in the Gossamer.
Liminal luminosity, the bridge of in between. Reality and fantasy, a pathway to the dream. In the Gossamer, further in we go. In the Gossamer, more or less we'll go.
Hey, Dave.
John?
I've got a script.
What?
A script. I've done a script.
You've written a script?
Yeah. Have a listen.
Do I have to?
Yeah. It's for the show, for the podcast.
Ah. Oh, okay.
We fix is a 7-letter word.
In 1617, a rather confrontational Isaac Newton is reported to have said, and I quote, "Weet-Bix has less nutritional value than the cardboard box it comes in." And today, at last, over 4 centuries later, celebrity master chef Gordon Oliver has bravely and aggressively responded to Newton's provocative statement by saying, "Hello fans and lovers of Cooking with Sevens. I must say today, I am outraged. Outraged. Weet-Bix, for me, is pure seventological sunshine with all the delicious, nutritious goodliness of wheat. Something so close to my heart that I sleep with a box of Weet-Bix next to my bed every night, and sometimes even pop it in a box under the sheets right next to me. This man, Isaac Newton, his assault on Weet-Bix, in my mind, that makes him one of the worst serial killers of all time. And I think he should be dumped in a bathtub of glue. No, I jest. All who love me know that I'm not only humble and kind, but I'm also incredibly generous. And since that poor man died in 1627, I've decided to take the high road and suggest that his statue be thrown into a bathtub of glue instead." No. Just again. Really, no, I do. I am actually going to defer instead to Newton's very own third law of emotion. Be nice to others and they will be nice to you. And so, in a gesture of kindness and goodwill, I am dedicating a song to Sir Isaac Newton and his fans. A little ode to the special secrets of Weet-Bix. Featuring my very good friend, Paul McCartney, alongside my very own considerable talents as a singer, songwriter, come celebrity chef, and many other things. Although, I hate talking about myself, you know. But let's face it, who else is worth talking about? And so, to toss us into the song like a salad, my dearest and closest Sevenological friend and Weet-Bix enthusiast, Sir Paul McCartney.
Let me say right from the start, tune morn is one way to my heart. I can say that I treasure the pleasure it brings to my tongue. I have great affection for cooking perfection and sevenly fun. Seven ingredients, that's all it takes to make my tuna bake. Can of tuna, parmesan cheese, salt and pepper if you please. Corn flour milk, nothing expedient. Weet-Bix is the secret ingredient. Seven ingredients, that's all it takes to make my tuna bake. Seven ingredients, that's what it takes to make my tuna bake.
So, there you have it. What a beautiful, beautiful song, written by one of the greatest singer-songwriters of our time. Yours truly, Gordon Oliver. I am very good. And it would seem from the popularity of this song on social media that I do indeed have a big future as a singer-songwriter. But I would like, just for a moment, to take the spotlight away from myself and thank Sir Paul McCartney for joining me on this song and for embracing Weet-Bix as his breakfast cereal of choice. And so there is just one more word that needs to be said to all of those gravity-loving Newtonian Weet-Bix deniers. And that word is, tuna mornay with Weet-Bix is yum. And be watching out for a very special announcement in the very near future regarding the recent undiscovered superpower of Weet-Bix. And I'm pleased to reveal to you, dear listener, that our little podcast today has reverberated in the hallowed corridors of the Sanitarium Health Food Nation, giving rise to a phone call from Mr. Weet-Bix himself to none other than our very own little Johnny Lincoln Bode.
If sponsorship success with Mr. Weet-Bix, he is secured. That will mean a podcast fame and fortune is assured.
Hello? Mr. Bode?
Speaking.
Mr. Weet-Bix calling.
Mr. Sanitarium Weet-Bix?
Calling about your sponsorship, sir.
Really? How did you...
Well, your podcast, dear boy.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're able to listen in.
About Mr. Newton.
Mr. Newton?
Sir Isaac Newton, Mr. Bode. We don't condone violence here at Sanitarium.
Oh, no, of course not.
And
no.
So your Gordon Oliver fellow, we didn't approve of his suggestion that Sir Isaac Newton's statue be dumped in a bathtub of glue.
Oh, that. No, look, that was just a setup for a joke. You see, the joke is, what's the difference between a can of tuna, a grand piano, and a bathtub full of glue? And the answer is, you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. And as for a bathtub of glue, I don't know, I always get stuck on that one. It's a joke. Are you there?
It seems not everyone appreciates the subtlety of your humour, Mr. Bode, because someone has superglued an entire box of Weet-Bix to Sir Isaac Newton's head.
Oh. Hang on. I thought he was dead.
His statue, Mr. Bode, is still very much alive. And I dare say the Weet-Bix prank was carried out by one of your podcast listeners. Why do you laugh, Mr. Bode?
Because I think it's funny.
Funny?
Well, funny that Mr. Weet-Bix, who doesn't actually exist, is talking to me on the phone about a statue of Sir Isaac Newton, which may or may not exist. I don't know, which is supposed to be covered in Wee Bix.
Well, it might be funny for you, Mr. Bode, but it's not funny for me. It's not funny for Wee Bix, and it's certainly not funny for Mr. Newton's statue. And as for your sponsorship, Mr. Bode, you are duly on notice.
Who was that?
That, Dave, was Mr. Wee Bix himself.
Ah, Mr. Wee Bix, right.
Our sponsorship's been placed on notice.
You mean the sponsorship we don't have?
That's the one.
So the sponsorship we don't have is on hold?
Until we clean up our act.
As in?
No more violence.
Right, well, that shouldn't be too difficult.
As Gordon Oliver would say, it is only when a mosquito lands on your testicles that you realise there is always a way to solve problems without violence.
Aussie kids, are we this kids?
Now, Dave.
Yes.
What are we going to do about Mr. Wee Bix?
Okay, well, how about this? As for Mr. Wee Bix, I'm pleased to say that a cheque has arrived here in the Gossamer by courier on horseback. A white horse with a rainbow-coloured horn on its nose and a rather large pair of white wings attached to its shoulders. The courier, a tinselly stick figure carrying a ridiculously oversized sponsorship cheque on which is displayed in neat cursive writing the words $77,777, which here in the gossamer land of imagerically generated purpley violet haze amounts to pretty much nothing at all.
Dave, that's great!
The sponsorship?
All that cash!
Yeah, well, there's just one problem.
What?
It's fiction.
Fiction?
It's just a story. It's not real or true.
Dave? Listen carefully. I have received a real email from the real Sanitarium Health Food of a Nation.
A real email?
Yes.
And?
And it's looking good.
How so?
Well, they said, thanks for sending us a link to your TikTok video.
TikTok video?
That's what they said.
Who sent the email?
The Sanitarium Health Food of a Nation itself. Customer relations.
And what, your Gordon Loves Wheat Bix video?
Yes, it got 20 likes on TikTok.
20 likes?
Yeah, people love it.
20 likes?
Huge.
20 million is huge. 20 is nothing.
20 is 20. It's not nothing. We're talking an email from customer relations. That's customer with a capital C, relations with a capital R. Not, that's not nothing. That's the world's my oyster. That video is the pearl, our passport to fame and acclaim we deserve.
Are you serious?
Nah, of course not. I'm not getting serious until they get serious, and they will. Because now, McCartney is on board through the deal Gordon brokered with him. We just need you to sort out how Paul gets reunited with his childhood sweetheart, Violet.
Yeah, and so how's that happen?
You're the writer, I don't know.
Ah, so I'm the writer again now, am I? After all this Wheat Bix stuff of yours has inserted itself into the story world, I get to sort it all out, do I?
That's pretty simple, isn't it?
What?
You just have to get Paulie and Violet reunited. That's the deal. McCartney helps Gordon become powerful, rich and famous, and in return, Paulie gets together with his long-lost friend. Simple, right?
Sure, simple.
So it's sorted?
How it happens?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe I have an idea.
Great!
Sort of.
Sort of?
Sort of.
So it's sorted?
Sort of.
It's sort of sorted.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of sort of sorted.
Exactly.
Well, that's reassuring.
The story of Paulie and Violet continues.
There's a story for me to tell, and a story for you as well. 'Cause there's nowhere we'd rather be than being here, just you and me. Together we are forever friends.
And that, dear listener, marks the end of episode 13, which for me has come as a bit of a surprise. I had planned to include the story of Violet's disappearance, but I discovered it was going to make the episode over 40 minutes long, which is too long. So the next episode, number 14, won't be the last episode of the series. I guess that's what happens when you're in the process of making something that ain't finished yet. You never quite know how it's going to pan out. I do know, however, that next month, in episode 14, we'll learn all about the events leading up to Violet's mysterious disappearance and Paul McCartney's deep sense of loss. Meantime, if you're contemplating sleeping with a box of Weet-Bix at your side, if that warm, rectangular, slightly cardboardy comfort is calling you in the night, then maybe, like me, you need a holiday in the Bahamas.
In the Process of Making is conceived by Dave Brown and John Bode and presented by The Paper Boats. Please subscribe to our podcast and recommend it to your friends, lovers, and others, and go to our sevenwell.org website to find out more. Episodes are released on the seventh day of each month on all your favourite podcast platforms. And be watching out for Sevenwell Snippets, bits and pieces of Seventological Sunshine released randomly each month on socials and available also from the website. And did you know?
In 1953, the famous Bled Cream Cake was invented in the kitchen of the Park Hotel, overlooking the Bled Lake in Slovenia, where a pastry chef developed a recipe so precise, so seriously committed to the lucky number 7, that the puff pastry is folded exactly 7 times and rested overnight. The custard is cooked for exactly 7 minutes, and each finished cake is cut into perfect 7 by 7 centimeter squares. The hotel has never wavered from this ritual in over 70 years, producing more than 17 million cakes using the same unchanged method entirely by hand every single day, as if the number 7 itself was holding its pastry makers to account.
Oh, Bled cake, so creamy, vanilla-y, heaven. Your taste bud sensation, a tribute to 7. Slovenian magic, your pastry divine. Folded precisely just 7 times.